Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I've got attorney Tom Sparks with me. We've got Cody Beeson. Sean is out of the office today. He's been working on getting his eyes fixed, if you haven't heard, on the street. He's been going through this eye surgery thing, midlife crisis of his. He's trying to obtain perfect vision when it's not possible, scientifically or physically. But he continues to pursue that end, even though he's pushing, I think, 45. I think he's about 45.
All right. We wish him well.
Yeah, we wish him well. But he's been trying his best to... Defy Father Time. And so he's not with us today because, again, he's got to get his eyes adjusted a little bit. But he'll be back. He'll be back next week, I'm sure. He always comes back. But we do miss him. We miss Sean and his opinion. Last week was a doozy, wasn't it, gentlemen? Obviously, the failed attempt to assassinate the former President Trump, that was all over the news. And then we went right into the Republican National Convention. Yeah. Cody, I know you've been keeping tabs on that convention. I've watched things here and there. You know, I watched a little bit of Laura Trump's speech. I watched, I don't know, just things here and there. I was really surprised. It came up on my... We have these little Alexas around our house, the little Alexa shows. And so it's got a little screen. And it was coming up on that through like NBC. So I was really surprised that what I would consider left-wing media news outlets, big news outlets, are broadcasting it. And they actually have a host presence there. It was, what's his face? Oh, man, what's the name of that guy? I can't remember. If I saw it, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, that's his name. But they're prevalent anchors, and they're at the RNC convention. So I was really surprised by that. Anyway, long story short, I pushed the button when I walked by because I was interested, and it was a live feed to it, and I watched a couple people speak. But it looks like what they're trying to do, and maybe you disagree with me, maybe not, Cody, but it looks like what the Republican Party is trying to do is say, hey, we're the party for everybody. We do not discriminate. We don't care, you know, about what color you are, what ethnicity you are, your sexual orientation. We don't care about that. What we care about are these particular principles of freedom that we consider to be principles of freedom. That's what I feel like they're trying to push during this convention.
That's a good message.
It is a good message. You know? I think it's that's who it was, Marco Rubio. That's who I saw, and he gave a pretty good, compelling speech. I enjoyed it. He talked about the definition of an American and how we are all Americans, and really how we need to embrace that. So this kind of coming together moment. So that was obviously last week, and in the wake of the attempted assassination of President Trump. So what did you think about that, Cody? I mean, when we were watching it on TV live, my family and my kids and stuff, it was, you know, we're trying to figure out where did that shot come from. We spent probably an hour and a half just replaying it and watching the crowd in behind. You know, the kids and myself were just fascinated by that event and that it wasn't successful. It was just incredible to watch, you know, in our lifetime. We in this room grew up hearing about the JFK assassination, and we saw it, but it was, you know, years later by the time we saw it in school. Some of us. Did you ever see it, Cody?
Oh, yeah.
We had to watch it in civics class.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you watched one version of it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
You didn't see the place from the grassy hill. Didn't see that. Point of view.
No.
The data after this one has been remarkable. I mean, obviously so many cameras are out there, but just the technology that's been able to recreate what's happened in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's really awesome, actually. I went back and immediately, actually, while we were doing this process of when the event happened, on big screen in the living room, we were watching it over and over, just rewinding, looking at different angles and trying to theorize as to where the bullet came, where the shooter was coming from. Were there multiple shooters in the moment? You know, there's so many what ifs in that scenario. But then we were also listening to the Secret Service audio, which we thought was really fascinating. And so we kept rewinding, not rewinding, I guess that's an old term, but going backward. How do you even say that?
Yeah, rewind, I guess.
Yeah,
rewind,
sure. Again. We were on YouTube videos.
And at simultaneously, I was on my phone on YouTube Googling Reagan assassination attempt, because that is one that I'm sure I've seen the clip over time, you know, over my lifetime. I just don't remember very well. And I wanted to see, like, how close was he to meeting his demise? And even in the clip, I don't see him get shot. I didn't realize he did get shot until a little later. But, yeah, he got hit.
Yeah, like, I think, like, in the abdomen, right?
Hinckley?
No,
Reagan got hit. Oh, for sure, yeah.
In the abdomen, right?
Hinckley was a shooter. Yeah,
Hinckley, but Hinckley didn't get shot. I mean, he went to prison, then he's released. Now he's a country music artist.
There you go.
You know?
No, but we're talking about Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan did get hit. Yeah, with a .22.
But it was also from, like, you know, me to Tom. Yeah, it was super close.
Dude, it was a little, you know, small .22 out of a 2-inch barrel.
Yeah, like, and you see in the corner of the screen, at least for the footage that I saw. Maybe there's another angle, but I think the widely promulgated or distributed angle, it's like he's right here in your bottom right-hand corner, and he just pulls it out.
Oh, pop.
Pop, pop. So I'm trying to draw similarities to that. And so big events. It was wild to see. I've also heard people say, well, you know, like, I'm not surprised. I'm honestly more surprised that it hasn't happened yet. You know, I was actually thinking that just a couple weeks ago, that it hadn't happened yet to anybody, be it Biden or Trump or any of these political people. There's just a bunch of crazy people out there. Having said all that, we didn't want to talk about that today because that's been played out. But it is out there, and it's going to be a continuing conversation, I'm sure, leading up to the election. Having said all that, what we were talking about before we went live here was, what were we talking about?
I can't remember.
Well, we were talking about how rights have been, you know, removed from people. So, for example, you know, some of these people that have voiced their opinion as ugly and you know, that it is, they still have suffered the repercussions of not being able to be on that platform anymore.
Tom and I were talking about this social media guy named Destiny. I guess he's a big social media presence, and his opinions are left-leaning. And so last week, because of comments that he made in the wake of the assassination attempt, comments like, he had no sympathy for the innocent bystanders that got hit and killed, that retired firefighter chief, and basically just saying, you know, nasty things about anybody that participates in a Trump rally deserves it or whatever, you know, whatever that might be. And that he's not the only one. I mean, those are comments that we've been hearing since it happened, and those comments are going to come. And so I guess in the wake of that, what I was reading an article last week about it, and in response to that, Elon Musk demonetized this Destiny's channel, meaning he's not allowed, as it is right now, to receive money from ads or anything like that that come from his channel. He's kind of like in timeout. So he was really upset about that. Some people are upset about it. Some people are saying, no, I think that's what needs to be done. First and foremost, the question becomes, you know, what about free speech? Free speech is a government protection. So it's a protection against the government actor. X is not a government actor. It's a private organization. And this came up years ago when we had the NFL allowing for example, the players to kneel or not even
kneel
the flag.
National anthem, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people clamored for that to cease, and the NFL is private. You know, it's a private company, the same with X. And so Elon Musk, and I wouldn't say retaliation, but he said that the speech that you're promulgating on your channel does violate the terms of X's policies. So we're going to demonetize you. My first reaction is, well, I thought that was kind of the argument prior to all this, when it was happening to, let's say, a right-leaning individual on X, or what was then Twitter, they're either being shut down or deplatformed or something like that, and everybody was clamoring, "Hey, you can't do that! You know, that's wrong morally or whatever. What about free speech?" kind of thing.
is the Taliban still on Twitter?
I don't know. I don't,
you know,
I don't follow the Taliban. They're not one of my followed people.
But at the end of the day, there's all kinds of radicals on there putting all kinds of crazy views out there. Granted, this one has attention right now, but are they any different?
So you think it's targeting?
I mean, how many people are tweeting from the river to the sea?
Are
those people being shut down?
Sure. Which is calling for the annihilation of a particular group of people, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's always kind of cloaked in an innocent phrase, like, but that's ultimately
like social justice.
Yeah, it's like ultimately what it means is, like, I think people who say it maybe don't even know what it means completely, except if they're educated, which if they were, they probably wouldn't be saying that.
So the question is, should we tolerate it? Should we allow, as a society, people to say whatever they want?
It's a tough balance because, like, well, like you're saying, with private industry, like, private industry is what makes America great, like capitalism and the private sector, like, pushing, you know, the bounds of what's, you know, the standard of living goes up in the private sector versus public. And look at SpaceX versus NASA. Like, there's, you know, tons of examples of where it's better in the private sector. So you've got that side saying, well, hey, if you're going to tell me how to run my business, I'm going to stop trying so hard if I have to let people use X. There's something to be said about that. But then the other side of the coin, like you mentioned, is back in the 1700s, like, no one was using one source of communication that could reach the entire world. So the argument would be these social media platforms are so big, it's synonymous with speech, like, with, like, just my own speech of, you know, being on the street corner like you would have been in the 1700s, talking about your political leanings and gathering a crowd in the town square. It's the same thing. It's just a worldwide town square now. So tough balance, but I don't know where the answer is, but I know that it seems like the approach so far hasn't been principled. It hasn't been, you know, this is how we follow the Constitution. It's been that something that you just said is so bad that it's most people, the objective person, is going to agree that it should be silenced, and that's typically what happens. As long as it's so bad enough that the majority of people agree it's bad, no one pushes back.
Would that be 2/3? What would three quarters? What would that be?
I don't know. I don't think that's the legal standard it should be. I'm just noticing.
Right. I'm just saying, like, how many people in this populist group would constitute Elon Musk saying, you know, that's too bad, I'm going to demonetize you?
Yeah, 9 out of 10? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. So it's so incredibly subjective, right? Mm-hmm. And Elon Musk can do whatever he wants. X can do whatever they want because it's a private industry.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm arguing is that just the principle alone of the freedom to say what you want, I think we need to maintain. You might not like it. You might not like, I don't like what that guy said. I don't agree with what the guy said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can ever come to agree or see his point of view on that particular issue. However, I don't want him to be silenced.
Well, what about...
Because I don't want to be silenced when I have an opinion that maybe he disagrees with or he can never agree with me on. I want both ways. And in order to achieve that, we have to just, in my opinion, I think the founders, so go back to the principle of free speech that's built into our Constitution to protect us against government actors is such that at the time, if they said something against the crown, it's off with their head, right?
Mm.
Essentially, that's basically what it was. You weren't permitted to speak ill about the king or his regime. And the founders were very aware of that. And so they built in these protections from the government actors such that we can call President Biden whatever we want. We can call Trump Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And no repercussions, right, from the government, theoretically. That was the idea, that the government can't bring retribution against you or silence you or do anything that the Supreme Court says to chill your speech, to chill that. Meaning, I don't have to think twice about saying bad things about a government entity or something like that, because the idea is that if you target me with the IRS or you seek retribution with me or against me with some sort of government agency because of what I've said about the government, then that would chill my speech, right? And so that is happening. I mean, they're using go-arounds. If they don't like a person or their views we've seen in the past that they target you with an agency and make your life really, really hard. That's not supposed to happen. That is a chilling of speech, and it's unconstitutional. But it's hard to prove. It's hard to prove that, oh, they're coming after me because of what I said.
Right. So understanding that the Constitution doesn't apply to the private industry, like you mentioned, that Elon can really do whatever he wants with X, do you think that there should be a change in the law or a policy shift to protect speech on mega platforms that are widely used by the entire world?
A change in the sense of that they're not allowed to...
Yeah, chill speech.
Chill speech.
Because they're so big?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I guess it would be pseudo, like, in the eyes of the law, sometimes there are these actors that are quasi-governmental. What comes to mind is like an airline.
Yeah, entanglement.
Yeah, an airline or a train. What used to be trains, you know, back in the day prior to mass transportation with planes, it was trains. So these are industries and energy industries in the past as well. They become kind of like this quasi-governmental thing that the Supreme Court over time has recognized. Well, you're so entangled with the government that you're basically the government. And because of that, you have a higher standard that's put upon you. So, for example, like they're called common carriers. Mm-hmm. You remember that, Tom, from law school? So a common carrier doctrine is saying that because you're quasi-governmental, you're so entangled with the federal government and through its regulations that you're kind of the government and you have a higher standard upon you. So if you do something to somebody, you don't start down here like most of us private citizens. You're going to start way up here elevated. Your burden is going to be way up here, and you have a higher standard automatically impugned to you, and you have to meet that standard, number one. And if you don't, then you're going to be held accountable.
Right. And typically, like how you would get common carrier status usually is through funding. If you're accepting government funds, it's a very quick way to become entangled with the government and have that higher standard. So that would be one thing. I remember there was a case actually that the Biden administration just lost because it was found that they were trying to incentivize Twitter or Facebook, social media companies from shadow banning, which means putting conservative posts, making them harder to find and making them harder to search on a search engine, things like that. And that was found to be an improper use of government resources and unconstitutional.
That's not even what Elon Musk did. All he did was remove the ability to generate money off of this hate speech.
Sure.
And that's what he got.
His money.
I get you. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I understand. That's a really good point of view, Cody. Sorry, did I cut you off?
No. That's the point, though, is one is about making money. The other is about being able to speak.
Okay. So I think that's a really good point, and that really kind of demolishes my premise to this whole conversation, because what I hear you to say is Destiny wasn't banned from Twitter or from X, sorry. He can still post all he wants. He just can't make money off of his posts.
Yeah,
is that what I hear you to say?
Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to be able to generate revenue because you said something so, you know, disgusting that people are picking up and sharing it or talking about it.
Right. That is true on X. Destiny has been banned on other platforms, though, as a result. Like Kick is a new app where people use, much like X. And he was banned on those things, banned on Twitch, other, you know, type of streaming services. Mm-hmm. So I think your point still stands. There are apps that are banning those people. But I think Elon definitely does take a more principled approach by demonetizing.
Well, I like the fact that he's still on the platform. I think that's what I'm advocating for. Maybe I didn't bifurcate the two. And I think, Cody, you really just kind of solidified my view of this. I think maybe Elon got it right in the sense of you allow the guy on. Don't curb his speech. Don't ban him. That's what Twitter was doing. It was banning people indiscriminately.
But I'm not going to help you make money off hate speech.
Right. I don't want you to make money off of saying that I'm so glad that person died. He deserved it because he was at a Trump rally.
Oh, and because of that, I'm going to donate $45 million a month until the election.
Right.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah,
Elon's doing.
I saw that.
So.
Yeah, I think to take kind of that idea and run with it, there's obviously been a huge increase in support for the Trump campaign. And I kind of what you were talking about with the Republican National Convention, I've noticed a little bit of a tone change, I would say, on the Republican side, where like before they were the angry, left behind, forgotten American, and now we're the party of unity. And I think that was a timely change. You mentioned Marco Rubio. Charlie Kirk also spoke at the RNC, and he kind of directed his comments to the younger generation, like watching it on TikTok, for example, and that basically saying that, you know, the America you see today is only an America that's, it's here by choice. It's by the choices the government has made that's brought us to this point. It doesn't have to be this way. And if you choose differently, it will change. And we're telling you, if you choose this party, it will change for the better. So I thought that was an interesting
message.
That's
awesome. That's a great argument. We got to go to break. We'll be back after this. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this. You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, and we've got Tom Sparks with us. We've got Cody in the studio today. We've been talking about this last week's events leading up to, you know, the assassination attempt of President Trump, but the happenings of the RNC. We also talked about this, the fallout. You know, you've got people on the left in response to the assassination saying things, horrible things, you know, that you don't want to, you shouldn't repeat, and we think are horrible. But does it go so far as deplatforming those individuals? Should they be, you know, that kind of thing? That's a conversation we were kind of getting into, and you were bringing up, you asked if I'd seen this Tenacious D thing in Australia last week. I didn't see it. I mean, I follow Jack Black as much as, you know, I watch his movies from time to time. I think he's hilarious. I know he did do something I watched for Biden the other day at a fundraiser. I didn't get the impression that, like, he's really on board for Biden. He looked ridiculous. I think he's funny. I don't take it too seriously, you know. When I watch it, I'm like, I don't care if he supports Biden. I don't care if he supports Trump. I don't really care. I don't take his political view to be my view, but I like Jack Black. I think he's funny.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting to see that all of the canceling was kind of done by the left to people on the right, and now it's kind of reversing, and you're seeing, I guess, maybe a little bit of revenge that some people on the right would call it, where Tenacious D, for example, that's the band, Jack Black's band, and they were
the band of two. It's him and Kyle.
Him and Kyle, and they were performing in Australia, and there was something done on stage to where I think it was Kyle's birthday, so they were presenting him with like a present or a gift, and they said a cake. He says, "Make a wish," and then he says in the microphone, "Like I wish like the shooter like would have had better aim or something like that." And the crowd, you can kind of tell, like, kind of laughs a little bit, like, nervously, because I think it caught everyone by surprise. And even since then, Jack Black has parted ways with Kyle Gass. They've canceled their tour as a result.
Oh, no.
His
agent dropped him. And even people in Australia were calling for their deportation out of the country, like, as a result of the comment. He's since apologized and said, you know, lack of judgment, stupid thing to say.
Try to be funny.
Yeah, tried to, you know, blow it off a little bit. But it's just something, you know, another instance where you're seeing somebody really, you know, have heavy repercussions for their speech. I mean, he's not going to go to jail, at least in the United States, for saying that, but like, they're obviously like, people don't have to like you.
But how comfortable has that side been saying that kind of stuff for so long, you know, and it finally caught up to him?
Yeah. I mean, that was my first thought, you know, and it was played out last week in the media, all over the media, especially right after the attempt. Was that, you know, well, they've been demonizing President Trump for so long. I mean, if you equate a person to Hitler so much, what do you expect a crazy Looney Tune to do after so much time? You know, if I had the ability, and that was an argument that my wife made, she's like, you know, you keep doing that over time, and you have this wacko out there that thinks, well, I'm going to save the world. You know, if I could go back in time and kill Hitler as a baby, then that annihilation of the Jews never would have happened. And so they think they're a hero. you can see the jump really easily.
Mm-hmm.
If they start to believe those things. So but the question becomes, is there any accountability for that? You know, if there's accountability, what would that look like? Because getting back to our free speech principle, I'm always an advocate for let people say whatever they want. Do not curb their speech. I would allow, you know, let them say it. And then you let the fallout happen. I think socially you start to distance yourself from people if they're saying things that you're like, I don't know, I don't really agree with that, or that's a little out there, you know. So mm-hmm. I think the fallout happens naturally. I think a lot of times people, unfortunately, because what's happened over time, at least in America, in our culture, I think over the last 3 decades, we've created this culture of political correctness, and that's really shot us in the foot. Had we allowed free speech to just happen, and the reality is, you know, most of the time, comedians are, that's why they're so funny, is because they'll say things that, really funny comedians say things that we think, we just don't say them because we're worried about what people, because of repercussions, but really they're bringing out truth. And that's why it's funny, because we're like, oh, like, yeah, that is really hilarious. I am thinking that, I just can't say it. But if you're a comedian, you can. Like Cody. Cody's a comedian.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and if you don't say it right, it comes off really racist.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Your delivery's got to be on point.
Yeah, it's got to be on point.
Yeah.
It all comes from the same point or the same place of just trying to make people laugh.
Exactly.
But it may come off wrong.
And I think comedy is the best remedy, to be honest, you know, with a lot of things. I think comedy, when done right, is the inoculation to hurt. I don't want to say hurt, but, you know, hurt feelings, I would say.
Yeah, you have intention, to be able to, like,
I think you have to be able to joke with people.
Right.
And I go through the ringer with this with my wife all the time, because I have a hard time taking a lot of stuff seriously. I rarely take anything seriously. And so when we're in a fight or an intense discussion.
Disagreement, yeah.
We don't disagree. We just, you know, talk it out.
Okay.
Talk it out.
Until you get on board.
I most of the time probably have a smirk on my face because I just can't take things really that seriously. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't put the lid back on the mayonnaise before I put it back. You know, like, is that going to make or break our day today? You know, that kind
of thing. Pick your battles.
Yeah, pick your battles. So, sure. Not that I've done that. I would never do that, actually. I'm kind of OCD about that stuff.
Yeah.
But it'd be more like, what do I do to annoy my wife? So many things. So many things. Chewing by her.
Yeah.
She just looks at me like she wants to shoot me.
Breathing through your mouth instead of your nose?
Yeah. I always breathe through my mouth for the last 4 years because I have 6 children. And so there came a point in my life where I was like, I would be accosted by a foul smell.
Yeah.
And so I thought to myself one day, well, I can avoid that if I just breathe through my mouth and not my nose. I will never be accosted. So for the last 4 years, I've been making that my practice, and it works. I would say daily.
Natural
selection.
People
will be like, oh my gosh, what's that smell? I'm like,
I don't know.
Don't smell it.
Mouth breathing over here. Don't smell it. Yeah. Natural selection, man. That's in action right there.
It's called evolution.
Yeah, that's right.
Not evolution, it's adaptation.
Yeah, well,
I don't think I agree with it. I don't think I believe in your talk. I know this took a turn real quick. You're talking about evolution this morning before we got on the air.
Yeah.
But I don't like the word choice. I think evolution, to me, this is just my non-scientific, uneducated opinion, but I think it's pretty on point mm-hmm. because I'm ignorant, but I think it's the truth.
You're ignorant.
Yeah. And so evolution to me, when you say we evolved, evolution to me means you went from a cat to a dog, from a dog to a duck. Like, you went from species to species. That's evolution. That's what you're telling me, right? I went from this creature in this pond of biological goo, and I morphed over time, so much time, that I grew from this microorganism to this tadpole, from this tadpole to this, you know, fish thing, from the fish thing to this ape, from the ape to, you know, I'm like, so evolution, I don't agree with. I agree with some sort of adaptation, you know, like, I think species can adapt, like me. I turned into a mouth breather because I didn't want to continually smell things around me.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to select when I can smell and when I don't.
Yeah.
I adapted to my environment.
There you go. We'll run with this a little bit.
You're the geologist. You're the scholar in this area.
So I like rocks, yeah.
Yeah, but in those rocks you find dinosaurs and
fossils, yeah.
And things that maybe evolved, or did they just adapt?
Great question.
That is the question.
Yeah, I'll tell you what is being taught, and I'll even tell you what I think.
Okay.
If you want. But what's being taught, yeah, in the university is evolution. I would just describe it as it's long periods of like adaptation. So adaptation's minuscule. And then if you add all the adaptations together and you would adapt enough, that would be what would commonly be referred to as evolving, because you've adapted so much, you're not even the same species anymore, right?
Ridiculous.
That's what, you know, that's the common belief, like in paleontology at this point, like from the fossil record, is not that you have one species and it goes to the other, but it kind of spider webs out. Like a common misconception is that the current scientific theory is man came from apes, and that's not true. The current theory is that man and apes bridge from a common ancestor. So we didn't come from monkeys. Our species of Homo sapien or human came from a common ancestor. We share the same parent. Now, I'll tell you, as I've learned more about geology, even I guess after university, and I've opened my mind a little bit, I think that there's a more nuanced explanation than what's being taught currently in university. That it's just interesting. Like, I'm a religious person. I read the Bible, and if you look at the history of scientific discovery, it matches the Bible. Like every single time we try, the Bible had it right first, and then science catches up. It's kind of interesting. Like, we'll take the Big Bang Theory, for example. You read in Genesis, let there be light, and there was light. It's describing nothing and then everything all at once, right? Before the Big Bang Theory happened, it was the steady state universe theory, where the universe always existed. It never not existed. And it's just been cruising along, and there was no origin. And I forget the guy's name, but the guy who came up with the theory was a Catholic priest, and the inspiration to his theory was reading Genesis. Like, it should be something like that, because I believe that's true. And that's, you know, science 100 years later catches up. And same thing in geology, where there's a long time we thought that if there was, we're going to believe the theory of evolution, right? That life came from non-life. So you had this primordial ooze, that something that had to spawn a protein, and what mineral would have been present to be able to do that. It was previously thought amethyst would have been the mineral, because amethyst's geologic structure is a single helix, which is reminiscent of RNA and then eventually DNA. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be wrong. And they couldn't figure out what mineral could have been the culprit. I'll give you a guess. What do you think it was?
H2O.
Wasn't H2O.
It's not a mineral, but
gold? I don't know.
It's a molecule, yeah.
Let's see. What's a really good one? I don't know.
Okay, I'll just tell you.
Thank you.
It was clay.
Huh. Clay.
Clay.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, isn't that
a little
fun,
reference
right?
in
oh,
that?
Dirt.
Dirt.
Yeah, from the dirt.
The dust thou art, and dust thou will return. So they study
what?
Clay, and we
blew my mind.
And you run it, and guess what clay has? A perfect double helix crystal structure. Just like DNA.
That's awesome.
Right? So it's like, come on. How many times are we going to just do the song and dance and just keep saying, well, that's crazy. That's crazy. It's like the source of all the theories. It just takes science a bunch of time to catch up. So you want my take? Genesis says that the Lord created animals and they were all commanded to multiply in their sphere. I think that there's some adaptation that happens inside the sphere. But going from sphere to sphere, I don't see any evidence in the fossil record that that happens.
Boom. We got a geological evidence, our testimony right here.
That's right.
As well as a religious.
Roasted.
Stamp. Okay, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Now back to our regular programming.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking us down that journey. We got to go to break. We'll be right back after this. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back. This is Life, Death, and the Law, and we've got a little bit of time left for this last segment. We went down this rabbit hole of evolution and adaptation. I'm going to spare you that our conversation, and we're going to get back to the free speech. I know Cody really likes free speech, and he keeps bringing it back to that. Like, who cares, Cody? Who cares about free speech?
I want to learn about fish.
Yeah, right. I mean, I thought that's what we're doing. Geology and, you know, the Constitution.
Do you have more free speech than I do because you're a comedian?
No, you have the same amount, but if the joke works, you know, then we're both in the same area.
Do you have more free speech because you're white? Your white privilege and your free speech?
As opposed to your skin color.
I don't think it works that way.
Oh.
I hope not.
You don't get to aggregate, like,
no.
White privilege plus free speech equals...
No, I mean, if anything, like, you should be more...
Super speech?
I mean, I don't want to say we have less free speech, but there are certain words that you can't use.
That is so true.
Yeah,
you know. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So my skin color reduces my ability, my free speech.
Well, you know, it doesn't. You're allowed to use those
words.
You're
allowed to say it, yeah.
And we're allowed to not do business with you if we want.
Okay.
You know?
You're allowed to get canceled by everybody who doesn't like you.
Okay, so that goes back to what we first began with, you know. Is it right to cancel somebody?
It's free speech versus socially acceptable speech.
You know, while we're talking about canceling and all this, you saw where Elon Musk also mentioned he's moving SpaceX and Twitter to Texas.
Austin. Yeah, he's going to Austin. I thought that was interesting. I'm like, isn't that a hippie capital of the world now?
You know what, though? But the state will benefit.
Yeah, the state will benefit. That area will benefit. I guess Austin is known for being very techie, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't mess with Texas.
Well, Texas is different than Austin.
Is it?
That's what I hear.
Oh, yeah. Travis County is weird. It's a weird...
I've heard Austin, yeah, it's a little hippie-ish, little purple
well, it's
city.
It's the university town, so I don't know. I've never been there. This is the word on the street, but maybe I should go experience Austin. Yeah. I want to go take a class from old McConaughey himself. All right.
Who he is talking about running as well.
He is. Locally there, or...
As a Democratic nominee.
Wow. I didn't read past the headline.
I don't know.
I didn't care.
I'm just theorizing. I've heard nothing, to be clear.
Typical millennial.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll read actual news stories, but that kind of stuff, that's distractions, you know?
I was thinking to myself, going back to the assassination attempt, they really missed their opportunity. At first, I was frustrated. I wasn't frustrated. I was like, I can see what they're doing. They're super, it's actually kind of comical, where they wouldn't call it a shooter. They wouldn't call it an assassination attempt. It was just loud noises heard at Trump event.
Trump falls after popping noises.
Trump gracefully walks off stage. It's like, huh? You know, I'm like, that's comical. And it's funny to me because it's like, if you would just do the most accurate headline or attention grabber, you would get more clicks and more views. I don't know why they didn't just do that. Why just use the word assassination, use, you know, that kind of stuff, and people would have clicked on that or been more prone to actually read your article, but you chose to do some dumbed down version. You really missed out, you moron.
Yeah, I think it's just their priorities. Like, that just shows you their priority is staying on the team than it is
to diminish,
getting views.
Yeah, to diminish the reality.
Water it down.
Right.
Yeah, water it down. because they didn't like it. They didn't like, you know.
Yeah, they're willing to put forward their what their preference is to news versus actually making money, which I think says a lot.
Yeah, that's really stupid, to be honest. I mean, it's funny because when I was thinking about this, I thought it was in real time. It was in real time when this event was happening. I was thinking to myself, because I'm looking through the, I'm Googling it at the same time that we're watching it over and over again, you know, and looking for news, and it was constant narrative of, we don't know what's going on. You know, it could have been firecrackers. It could have been this, unconfirmed that he was even hit, you know, nobody knows kind of thing. And we're talking like 45 minutes after the event. And by that time, after you watch it over and over again, it's like, he was hit. He got shot.
Yeah.
And there were multiple gunshots. Like, those are gunshots. So it wasn't like it was unknown, maybe for like 3-5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time you're looking at news cycles, 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half after, it's like there was no question about that. And I thought to myself, I would more err on the side of outlandishness. If I put myself in one of these news people's shoes, and I thought to myself, if I'm going to put out an article like that immediately, I'm going to be as outlandish as I can. Like, and I'll walk it back if I need to. You know, I'm going to go all the way. This was an assassination attempt. Multiple people died. You know, I'm just going to make some stuff up if I even need to get those clicks or to get people on my article. And then I can print a retraction, or I can go back and clean that up. But to me, I mean, as a news person in that business, I would have been more apt to err on the side of wrongness than caution.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about, not the cool thing, but a benefit of being in that sphere of news is that you have like complete immunity. Basically, you're allowed free speech rights against slander and things like that. So, in certain circumstances, so, you know, use that get out of jail free card and just go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
They do it any other time anyways.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah, you choose. It was just a dumb use of discretion, I would say.
Yeah, I think, yeah, monetarily dumb.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But again, I mean, if you're pushing the narrative of a particular side, I mean, that's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really about...
it's not news.
Not giving the other team any sympathy, any wins, you know?
Yeah, and to your point, like, how many different news sources did you see doing that? It's tons of news sources.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of crazy.
It was the majority.
Right. Kind of crazy how far-reaching that side of the aisle.
Even conservative sources. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was Fox News as well. I saw articles on there. They just wouldn't call it what it was.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It's very interesting. I thought to myself, why choose now?
Like, mm-hmm.
This is the time you get away with it. Do it, you know? Let it rip and then fix it after the fact. I don't know. It's really sad, actually, that your prism is so skewed that you can't do that. I mean, if it was on the other foot, even, you know, if it was a Biden assassination attempt, I would hope that they would call it for what it is right in the moment as well. You know, I don't care who the person is. I would err on the side of being outlandish and then fixing it later. That's just me, though.
I'm trying to think. I remember being on air when Gabby Giffords got shot in Tucson. And long story short, I remember those tweets coming out, and those were very much on the nose. Shooting actively happening, shooting happened. I mean, it wasn't doctored like this. It wasn't covered.
Interesting. You know. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with the subject of who was shot there.
Yeah.
And what side of the political aisle that they're on.
Well, oh, so let's go back to the baseball game in Virginia. You mm-hmm. remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
That was both sides, right?
Oh, really? I thought it was just Republicans.
Was it Republicans? I thought it was both. I could be wrong.
I thought it was just Republicans in that particular game, but I might be wrong. Who was Jeff Flake was shot?
I don't think so.
It wasn't Jeff Flake, but it was a Republican politician who was shot.
But what was the narrative then? Was it assassins and shooting, or is it?
I don't really remember.
Yeah.
I don't know
if it was dumbed down or not.
I don't know.
It's been a while. It'd be interesting to go back in time and see.
I can't believe nobody has talked about, at least I haven't heard anybody mention, like, this is obviously divine intervention, right? Like, how could it be anything other than that? You know,
I mean, I make the jokes like that all the time. My wife was the first one to do that. She wasn't making a joke. She really believed that. She was really emotional when we were watching the whole event. She was like, we came this close from losing Trump as a nominee, like losing him. And she was really emotional about that. Like, that would have changed the trajectory of this nation, this election. And I'm like, wow, you're a real deep thinker. I didn't take it that far.
But I mean,
like, whatever. You know, I'm like, doo-doo-doo. I'm more interested in like the logistics of the bullet and the angles and the Secret Service, how they acted. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Look at them like form the shield.
Yeah.
And she's like about this divine intervention thing. And I'm
except
like,
for
yeah,
the
that's
DEI
cool
hires,
too.
They weren't forming no shield.
Yeah. Like, and see, all that is divine intervention. Like, how did like but God made that too perfect?
The exact moment he moved his head just slightly, slightly enough.
And in all fairness, God wakes Biden up every day too. So
does he?
You know?
Or is that like some paddles?
Right.
Clear.
Yeah. So it's keeping
and
everybody
he, like, rises
going
out of the coffin. Joe, we got another day.
Yeah.
Another one.
How many more?
He's probably like a lot of individuals in his shoes. When they get to that age, you know, you ask them what they want for their birthday. A lot of times they'll say, I don't want to be here next year at this time.
You know, you joke, but that's true.
I'm not joking. Yeah. I'm saying that's reality. Yeah. I've heard it not just from one person. I've heard it from many octogenarians. You know, they're like, I would prefer not to be here for
with
my next
birthday.
With
you people this next time.
Huh?
I prefer not to be with you people this time next year.
That's right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, he comes out of his coffin every morning with those paddles. Clear. And he rises up, and Jill's there. Hey, honey, we got another one. He's like, ugh.
Yeah, you would be the biggest jerk if you made your grandparents like go to work every day like that, in that capacity. Even at, like if it was a greeter at Walmart.
Is that like indentured servitude? Like, whoopsh.
Yeah.
Get out there, old man. Really? Do I have to?
And I mean, so is it his choice that he's choosing not to step away? Or do you think that party is really keeping him...
I don't
together.
Think it's a party. I mean, at this point, I mean, maybe it's a show that they're like dissenting. Personally, I think it's Jill.
Yeah. I think it's Jill.
I think they're holding on to power. I don't know. You know, what do I know? But I think it's just holding on as long as they can. For what motivation? I don't know, because you're already kind of like set once you're the president, and he was already set when he was a senator. You get that for the rest of your life, all those benefits. So it's like, how much more do you need to glean off the public payroll? You're already a multimillionaire, having done nothing your whole life other than been in public service. Well, thanks for your service, Joe. Here's hundreds of millions of dollars of my money. Like, okay, but you need more?
You're
like,
also making a percentage on everything your kid does, because they got to kick it up to the big guy.
Yeah, that's true. So. That's
Burisma.
Right.
One thought that is like a constant narrative in my mind is that Why? You ask the question, why? I honestly think it's just to protect legally a lot of the fallout that is going to happen once he's out of office, as far as things that he's getting now caught for. I think that's why. I think they're holding on so long, kind of like that immunity argument that the Trump administration was making. You know, well, he's a president, or he's this, that, or the other, so he's immune from this, that, or the other. I think that's really what it's about. Is maintaining as long as possible this insulation of force field against legal action against them for wrongs that they've committed or criminal acts that they've done in the past that now are coming to light. I think that's really what it's about, is protecting themselves. As long as you can maintain that power structure, hold on the power structure, then you can't be prosecuted. That's personally what I believe, but I don't know if that's true. You know, I have no evidence of that. Otherwise, what else could it be? I'll let you think about that till next week. We'll be back next week. This is Life, Death, and the Law.